Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled The Song of Helene, read by the author, J. L. Royce. The story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 1 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale.
Shunned by family and friends, rejected by my class, reduced to frequenting the low establishment still willing to take my coin, I visited public houses slopping wretched ale, the filles de joie offering the most desultory of embraces. Life had become a desperate search, a stultifying circuit from that gloomy mansion where once our laughter reigned, to those scabrous beds and back, to weep at the ivy-bound tomb where my Helene sleeps. Yet this wretched half-life soon may end. My carriage slows to turn. We pass through wrought iron gates to wend our way along the drive to reach the column portico. I sense excitement in the woman huddled next to me, though nothing like my own. To hear your dulcet voice again, my sweet Helene. Helene, the brightest butterfly to dance among spring's flowers, where we as lithesome youths wandered, innocent of love. Would that we had died then in that natural, supple state of grace. But we matured, and scales fell from our eyes, and when we knew each other to be clothed, we craved to tear those clothes away. We wed, but only to ordain the amatory joy we'd already tasted in each other's arms. With power and wealth, accoutered lavishly, we swept society into our train without a thought beyond the latest titillation we might find in wine and opium and passion's house. Season after season passed this way, the world beyond us burning in wars and revolutions, while nightly we consumed each other in the human flame. Helene, in full flower, voluptuous and daring, flaunting everything, but yielding to none but me, teasing and denying all who dared to plead for her caress, her laughter bright as knives. Entwined in passionate embrace one evening, fingers wandering her raven waves, I chanced upon a streak of brilliant white emerging at her brow and sweeping sinistral. In days, a lush ivory coil graced her midnight mane. Had we known the meaning of this portent, would anything have changed? Would penitence and prayer have followed with remission from above? Then came the fateful night when, late for some debauch, I burst into our chamber unannounced to chastise my Helene. She stood before her cheval mirror in knickers and perfume, closing down her lamp as I approached, I thought, in feigned modesty. I clasped Helene to my chest, our plans forgotten, and bending to her mane, murmured at her ear, "The darkness of your hair intoxicates. I'd drown myself within your rolling waves." Leading me to our canopied retreat, Helene took me with a fearsome appetite, seeking respite from her nascent fears. My eyes had not perceived the subtle transformation of her flesh my hands revealed. As half her tresses faded, so the left side of her perfect form regressed. We dismissed her maid to keep the secret through the sun-kissed summer. I helped Helene rouge her pallid cheek, stuff half a soutane gorge within her corset to pad her thinning breast. She wore long sleeves despite the heat to hide her wasting limbs. Her now crooked smile was forced. Insisting our nightly revels continue unabated, we danced, though less and less. But when her left eye's cornflower blue darkened to the zephyr of a winter dusk, we could no longer conceal her transformation from a voyeuristic world For a time, Helene appeared masked, defiant, flaunting a braid of black and white. As her left side withered, she lost the will to move her right. Her speech, once voluble, faltered into silence. No physician could restore Helene to her health. As autumn painted the landscape in splendid decay, we withdrew to our estate, then our manse, our chambers, our bed, our first and final pleasure. Albeit speechless, Helene could still sing, regaling me with songs sweet and sensual, expressing all the emotions she could not utter. She drew strength from our impassioned coupling and found her only peace exhausted in my arms. We could not deny the looming end. My ardor fed her spirit, yet bound her to her half-dead flesh, this world of suffering and decay. My selfishness brought me nightly to her side, expending myself, renewing her imprisonment. I cleared the mausoleum, long ignored, preparing for our last repose. I drove the workmen with pharaonic cruelty, evicted its moldering occupants, and sumptuously refurbished it, this temple to great Thanatos. The finest artisans crafted a marble sarcophagus of double width, crowned with a divided lid of burnished bronze. Beneath its pedestal, a cunning clockwork drive would raise this roof. Its single chamber was readied for our occupancy with down-filled pillows and duvet, covered in finest crimson satin. In death as in life, I menaced to remain entwined forever, for I would take my life when hers had lapsed. My health was near collapse. On her last night, I passed into a drug-sedated sleep, resigned to death, Helene curled within my arms. Of the days that followed, I have no recollection, and when I did awake, it was to find Helene gone, gone. Retainers said that my beloved wife was being borne to her final rest. I struggled to my feet and, throwing on greatcoat and boots, tottered out across the field to where the granite house of death crouched against the blank October sky. I received no sympathy from her family but hate-filled glances, muttered imprecations. I collapsed upon her bier, only to be rudely pulled away. I would have joined her within the vault even then. Restrained by rough hands, I watched helpless as she was brought inside. The massive outer door closed, the tomb sealed, my Helene immured, alone. Where lies the border between life and death? After her demise and my exile from society, I obsessed upon Helene's fate. Might gentle Thanatos abide a truce? Accept Helene's sinistral half-death and permit half-life to recommence? Did she yet linger at his threshold, waiting in an undead trance? The frozen earth herself rose every spring from winter death, surrendering to Sol's fiery embrace. Helene, my thoughts hearken back to our last week and how her strength and color seemed restored in our couplings. The notion possessed me that sufficient passion could raise her to life once again. I set out to restore my health, consulting physicians, forswearing the tincture that had become my crutch. I groomed and set a wholesome diet, and walked in autumn's watery sun to build my strength. My lingering guilt that my waning ardor had spelt her doom drove me on. Clearly my youth had fled and could not be restored. Could I supplement my passion with another's? Foolishly, I sought out wantons in public houses and maisons de passe, searching. I found lost creatures little healthier than I had been, lacking the heated spirit of arousal. Near despair, I sat one night in a distant inn alone when she flounced up to me. "What's your pleasure, sir?" came a buoyant voice. Raising my gaze, I regarded the serving girl, a flower fresh blossomed, inviting as a spring day. Blonde curls framed an open face, flushed in the firelit room. I placed my bejeweled hand upon hers. She did not withdraw, for her eyes revealed a hunger I knew all too well. A coin secured her companionship for the night. I rushed her to my coach and thence to home, ushered my young guest within and made her wait, still cloaked, listening to the fading sounds of hooves. Then with torches lit, I brought her back into the night. Across the fallow field, beneath mute stars, to your resting place, Helene. Elaine, not once since that devastating day have I dared look upon you, though I had stolen the key from your jealous kin. I turn it in the lock, swing the heavy door aside, and urge my companion forward. I light the candles in their sconces as she wonders at the luxury surrounding us. Fumbling at strings and stays, we loose our clothes, embrace unfettered, my kisses hungrily returned. She gestures at our crypt and asks, "Shall I put my cloak upon it, my lord?" "No," I reply, and bend to my task, rotating the ornate wheel that works the massive lid. Protesting, the clockwork advances, the halves retreat, revealing our consecrated bed. She peers about, catching but a glimpse of that altar profane. Faintly, from within, a sentimental lyric floats. Is it my insane imagination? No, for the girl beside me laughs, exclaiming, "Not unlike a music box." The sacrament of life is nigh. Elaine feels it, as do I. Inflamed, I kiss my young guest's face, her neck, release her hair from bondage, and secure the ribbon round her eyes. "A surprise, my poppet," I assure her, then usher my trembling acolyte up the marble steps, led by the seductive voice, the song of my Elaine.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.